What the vine did was it masked his anger. See, that's what money, good friends, being in fellowship, relationships, blessings in this world, success, the esteem of others, it can mask for a time the hidden anger of your own heart.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, that's quite a phrase, the hidden anger of your own heart.
And I think that's what the book of Jonah that we're in at the moment is all about. He has this marvelous ministry that he loves. And then God says, no, I'm going to take you away from that. I'm going to send you to the city of Nineveh.
Yeah.
And of course, Jonah says, no way, I'm going in the opposite direction. And his resentment towards God is revealed. And then right at the end of the book, we find the same thing happening again. He's got this plant that just grows up and then God takes it away. And suddenly he's back to being angry. There's a hidden resentment that comes out towards God when God takes away the thing that he really values in life. And the wonderful part of this story is that God doesn't leave him there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, many of us, like today's title, kind of points out, we do tend to rejoice in God's gifts and almost assume like they have become rights.
Right, yeah, yeah. And the contrast between Jonah and Job is very striking to me, Steve, because Job's the one who says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Jonah wasn't there at the point in the story where we join him today. Just like some of us will be saying, well, I'm not where Job was. I can't say what he said. Well, you can identify with Jonah. And by God's grace, Jonah's story may be a means of God laying hold of your life in a fresh way.
Well, let's get to today's message. We're in Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. As we continue the message, rejoice in God's gifts as though they were rights. Here's Pastor Colin.
A person who lives a vine-centered life is a person who ends up loving God's gifts more than we love the one who gives the gifts. Now, the worm and the wind are exposing where Jonah's heart is centered. And God is doing this in Jonah's sanctification because God will not leave this man there. My friend, it is a disaster to live a vine-centered life. Now, let's step back just one more time. I want you to see a fascinating contrast. Jonah was not the only one to experience the vine, the worm, and the wind. Let's think of another person who went through the same pattern of experience, actually in a much more devastating way. That, of course, is Job in the Old Testament. Think about Job's vine. You read in chapter 1 of his story, this man had one wife, he has 7 sons, 3 daughters, he has 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, a large number of servants. In other words, in our terms today, because wealth was measured in terms of animals and possessions of that sort, but in our terms today, this is a massive, massive, massive portfolio. This man is superbly wealthy. In fact, the Bible says he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. That is some vine. Job's life. But then do you remember Job's worm? One day, and it all happened in one day, there was this terrible loss. His financial security, represented in these animals, torn to shreds in a single day when raiders come and destroy the animals, leaving them for dead meat out in the countryside. And then a much worse tragedy happens on the same day. All of his children, the 7 sons and 3 daughters, are gathered together. They're having a party in a house, and a wind comes in and hits the 4 corners of the house, the Bible says, and the house collapsed, and not one of them survived. Folks, that is some worm. And just every blessing in this man's life is blasted away in a day. Then what about Job's east wind? Well, as he tries to move forward from here, what does his wife say to him? Why don't you curse God and die? The person you love most in the world says, give up on God. Boy, that rubs salt into the wound. And then at that point, Job's health breaks down. Chapter 2 tells us that his whole body is covered in sores. And then, just to increase the affliction, his three friends arrive. And their trite religion aggravates the pain, the sorrow, and the loss that is already the grief and burden of this man's life. Now, I want you to notice the contrast between the way Jonah responds to the vine worm wind experience and the way that Job responded to the vine worm wind experience. Jonah responds with anger. He says, "I am angry enough to die. Take away my vine. You take away this blessing in this life. I no longer have a reason to live. I'm angry. And I see no point in life." Job, in contrast, responds with worship. Chapter 1 and verse 21, he falls to the ground in worship and he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, both men go through the same pattern of experience, and it takes one man into anger, and it takes another man into worship. Last time we were saying that God's grace will move people either to anger or worship, remember? And now we're seeing that God's gifts tend to move people also either towards anger or towards worship. By the way, wouldn't that be some text to write over any investment in this strange time in the economy? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, all of us are facing, in all kinds of circumstances of life, the question as to whether the worm and the wind will lead us to anger or whether it will lead us to worship. And what the wind and the worm are doing is exposing whether we really are folks who love God or whether we're really folks who love the plant, the vine. It's interesting to think of it this way. Right now, every person is moving in one of two directions. Either we are growing to love God more or we are coming to resent God more. And none of us are standing still. And the Bible makes it very plain that at the end of human history, when the Lord Jesus Christ winds up human history as we know it, there will be two groups of people, one who love God forever and the other who hate God forever. And every person is moving along one of two lines. Either we are moving towards perpetual joy in God, or we are moving towards perpetual resentment towards God. We are every day moving nearer either to heaven or to hell. It's the reality of our lives. Now you say, you put it like that, that gives me a big question. I think many of us would be saying today, I am more like Jonah than I'm like Job. You feel that? You will want to ask, as I've been asking, this question, how can I love God more than I love his gifts? How can I overcome the idolatry that hides within my own heart? How can I become a person who finds my reason to live in God more than I find my reason to live in his wonderful good gifts in this life? How can I overcome hidden resentment that may lurk within my own heart towards God? You ask the question, how can you come to love God more? And the New Testament answers that very plainly. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because of what? He first loved us. Thank you. And therefore, the more I come to grasp his love for me, the more I will grow in my love for him. The way to love Christ more is to grow in the knowledge of Christ's love for us. That's why in all of our worship, and in all of our preaching and in all of the life of the church, we want to keep circling back to the center of gravity, which is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where his love for us is displayed, proved, demonstrated, placarded, poured out so that it may be experienced in your heart. Have you ever thought about the vine, worm, wind experience of Jesus? What was his vine? What brought him comfort and joy and blessing in this world? Mark tells us in chapter 4, he called 12 men to be with him. Friends, comfort, companionship, conversation. And he trains them, and then he sends them out on a mission. And the Spirit of God works powerfully through these men, and it brings Jesus great joy to see the blessing of God coming through their ministry. He says in Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And he's seeing the advance of ministry through the friends he has chosen, and he finds joy in it. That's some vine. And then the worm comes. The disciples who had brought him comfort, joy, and blessing all forsook him and fled. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas comes and betrays him with a kiss. Peter later denies him with a curse. And Jesus is plunged into sorrow and loss. And that was when the east wind blew. That was when he was scourged and mocked and crowned with thorns and nailed to a cross and plunged into total darkness, and there in an agony of body, soul, and spirit cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And why was this? He bore our sins, your sins, my sins, in his body on the tree. The Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. I think of it this way. He endured the worm that never dies and entered the heat of the fire that is never quenched, so that you, by his redeeming love, might spend your eternity under God's vine of blessing forever and forever. Now, I need to take that love of Christ into my life and into the core of my being every single day. That's why we say, preach the gospel to yourself. Tell yourself the love of Christ placarded in the cross, because there's the vine, the worm, and the east wind going on in your life as there are in mine. But when you see the love of Jesus Christ, in which the Redeemer embraces you, in which he holds you in all the mixed experience of this world, you will find that you move away from anger. And you discover more of worship. Oh, Job's worship, his worm and wind experience, it was his finest hour. He worshipped through tears. This was not a shallow or an easy thing. But in his tears, the worm and the wind became for him the finest moment of his entire life, and his testimony redounds to the praise and glory of God in heaven and hell and on earth even still. He worshipped in his pain and in his loss.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and a message called Rejoice in God's Gifts as Though They Were Rights. It's part of a larger series on the life of Jonah called How to Avoid a God-Centered Life. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Another way to listen is through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. It's a great way to listen on demand, or you can podcast the program. You'll find Open the Bible anywhere you get your podcasts. But whether you listen to this program on the radio, online, through the app, or by podcasting the program, we're able to make this program possible because of your generosity. So thank you for giving to and supporting this ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book Pastor Colin has picked out. It's entitled Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure, written by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's one of Pastor Collins' favorite books. He's on his third copy, and we'd love to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Well, Colin, it's Friday and the weekend's coming.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you to get to church on Sunday. You know, across the country, people who love Jesus will be gathering to praise him. And if you love Jesus, that's something you'll want to be part of. So find a church where the Bible is opened. And if you live in the Chicago area and you don't have a church home, I'd love for you to join us at The Orchard. There are 6 locations in the northwest suburbs. For more information, go to theorchard.church. That's theorchard.church.
Well, thank you, Colin. If you just joined us, we're in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, looking at verses 5 to 9 as we continue the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Are you seeing God's love for you in Jesus? King David, who lived before the time of Jesus, he saw it and he knew it in his own soul so clearly that he said, "Your love is better than life." See what he's saying? Lord, your love in Jesus Christ to me, it's better than the vine. It's better than any blessing in this life. It's better than any gift that you have given to me. Your love is better than life. God's gifts to him were amazing, but he said, your love is better than any gift in this life that's given or taken away. And Job saw that too. And the good news is that Jonah got there eventually. The whole point of the book surely is that God did not abandon Jonah in his anger and in his frustration. In fact, we're going to continue with this week, God willing, next week, seeing how God moved him from the position he was, even in verse 9, and moved him forward. How? By the knowledge of his love. That's why we're ending there today. And God will not abandon you in your anger, your frustration, your resentment. You draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you and gave himself for you. And ask him to warm your heart and to change your heart. He will not abandon you in your experience of the worm or the wind. I want to suggest just in these last moments, 3 very simple prayers for all of us who feel that we want to be less like Jonah and more like Jesus. They're very simple and they're very obvious. Lord, I want to be less like Jonah. I want to be more like Jesus. I don't want to be an idolater. I don't want to live a vine-centered life. I want to prize you, the giver, more than any one of your gifts to me. Here's 3 simple prayers. Lord, help me to receive your gifts gratefully. You know, one of the things the vine teaches us is just this. Whatever blessing God has poured into your life, receive it with gratitude. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Whatever gift brings you joy and comfort and blessing, let it be a source of thanksgiving and praise. Lord, help me receive your gifts thankfully. I need to cultivate gratitude. And then here's the second prayer. Lord, help me to hold your gifts lightly. Help me not to make idols of any gift that you give. Help me to remember that your gifts are gifts. They're not rights. Because as soon as you start confusing gifts with rights, you move into anger and you lose a God-centered life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Nothing in my life lasts forever in this world, save the Christ who holds me, keeps me. And then here's the third prayer. Lord, help me to love you more than I love your gifts. Help me to love you more. Help me to grasp more of your amazing love for me so that I will not be the kind of person who lives a vine-centered life with all the anger and frustration and futility that lies down that road, but one who lives a life that is centered in my love for the giver, which is supreme even above my gratitude for the gifts. I think I've told you this story before, but just in this last moment to wind it up, it's been so powerful for me especially because I love the privileges that I have in serving the Lord as a pastor. I just love it. It's such a gift. It's a vine. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, perhaps one of the two best-known Christian leaders in Britain in the last century, along with John Stott, I guess, a marvelous life, traveled all the world, preached all over the place, was given great blessing on his ministry. Was there ever someone, certainly in Britain, whose ministry was so singularly blessed and life so privileged and saw so many things happen that were so dear to his own heart? And at the end of his life, he is ill and he was confined to his bedroom, couldn't get out of his bedroom, and that was it. And one of his friends came to see him and asked him this question. He said, "Doctor, how is it with you now? You've had the joy of being in platforms all over the world, speaking to thousands and thousands of people. You've had all this joy of ministry in every way in which God's blessed you. And here you are, you can't get outside of your own bedroom. How is it with you now, Doctor?" And you know what Lloyd-Jones said? He quoted some words of Jesus. He said, "Do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." It goes right through me every time I think of it. Don't find your joy in your ministry, because that too will pass away. Don't find your primary joy in anything that God gives you, any good thing that God gives you in this life. You find your primary joy here, that you belong to Jesus Christ and he will never let you go, and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then if you should find yourself confined to one bedroom awaiting transportation into eternity, you will know that while the vine passes away, God's love never passes away.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And what a great way for us to wrap up this message by taking a look at those three prayers. Lord, help me to receive your gifts gratefully. Help me to hold your gifts lightly. And help me to love you more than your gifts. Well, Colin, those are three penetrating prayers. Prayers that we can be praying of self-examination. And I think it'd be good to wrap up today's program, maybe with you leading us in prayer.
There are prayers that all of us need, that I need. Let's come before the Lord together right now, you and me. Father in heaven, I see so many ways in which idolatry gains a place within my heart. And I come to love the things that you've given to me more than I love you, the giver. Forgive me and deliver me from the power of this idolatry. Help me to receive every gift that you give gratefully. Help me to hold every gift that you give lightly. And help me to love you, the giver, above all other gifts, I pray. To that end, show me more today of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may truly see the grace and the love that is poured out in him who endured the fire and the worm, the scorching heat, and all the dimensions of hell itself, so that I should be delivered from this forever and forever. Your grace is amazing. Help me to know your love, and may my anger at all the disappointments of my life be wrung out at the cross of Jesus Christ in the light of his redeeming love for me. Lord, hear this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Colin. You know, you may want to go back and listen to this teaching again. You can do that when you come to our website. Just visit openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders, but accessible to every believer. The 6 sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.